Joining me on WMAL to continue this conversation, and then we'll get to your calls, is Richard Horowitz, who is an attorney in New York who's familiar with this case. Mr. Horowitz, thanks for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me.
Are you familiar enough with this case to know what he said on O'Reilly that got him in so much trouble?
Well, I think he was having troubles before the O'Reilly appearance. The O'Reilly show popularized it and publicized it. But he had been looked into by the government and by Steve Emerson, who's an investigative journalist, back in starting in 94 and 1995. The O'Reilly show made it a lot more popular, and attention was brought to this after September 11th for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm. What's the situation as far as what he should be allowed to do? In other words, he's a computer science professor, and for example, I don't agree with his statement, death to Israel. However, apparently on some tapes, he is believed to have said death to Israel in Arabic. Now, that's his opinion. Is he an American, by the way?
I don't think he's not an American citizen.
He's not an American citizen. But nonetheless, since he's in the United States, he's protected by many of the Constitution the way we are in many degrees. Is the fact that he believes death to Israel and so on, is that enough to get him fired?
Well, the issue isn't whether or not he said death to Israel. The issue is what is the context in which he's speaking.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying death to Israel at a conference where you have his committee's organization's banner and logo next to the banner and logo of the Islamic Jihad organization.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not simply death to Israel. He's saying death to Israel at a forum which is promoting the Islamic Jihad movement. He was introduced at one of his conferences as the president of the Islamic Committee for Palestine, which is the active arm of the Islamic Jihad movement, and we call it the Islamic Committee for Palestine for security reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then that same individual later on at that conference gets up and says, donate to the Islamic Jihad, $500 to stab a Jew. Who would give $500?
He said that? Did he say that?
No. The person who introduced him
said that
as the president of ICP, the active arm of Islamic Jihad. After introducing him later on at that same conference said, who would give $500 to stab a Jew? Make your check out to ICP, Islamic Committee for Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not simply the slogan, death to Israel. It's the fact that these things are being said in a context which promotes an organization that actually does it.
Mm-hmm. How does this affect the fact that he's at a university in which he's teaching computer science? In other words, I can understand if he were teaching world studies or he were teaching, political science or something, but it would seem to me that his views probably don't get into the classroom very much, or would they?
Well, the issue, I would be surprised if he brought his views into the classroom. Odds are, he would try to keep his views out of the classroom.
Yeah.
He teaches computer science.
Yeah, right.
So the issue of academic freedom is a bit of a moot issue.
Right.
And it's not what he does in the classroom teaching computer science. It's what he does outside the classroom talking about and organizing conferences that promote and raise money for terrorist activities. So the academic freedom issue is a bit moot or bogus, in effect. So it's more of what he does outside of the classroom. The classroom basically could be viewed as his cover. He's probably a straight professor teaching computer science as his cover.
Mm-hmm.
And then outside the classroom, he organized an organization that brought over the head of Islamic Jihad. One of his colleagues became the new head of Islamic Jihad in the mid-90s. So this is not simply someone who's espousing views which aren't popular.
Let me ask it this way then. Because I want to try to see the difference between a university, which is taxpayer money, and a business. If I own a small business and I hire a guy who is otherwise doing a very good job for me, but I find out that on the side, in his spare time, he's raising money for the IRA. Let's just take it away from the fundamentalist Muslims for a second. And I don't approve of that because the IRA is a terrorist organization, and even if some of its causes seem just the way they go about it, clearly isn't. So can I, as a businessman, then justifiably fire this guy because in his spare time he's raising money for the IRA?
You can fire him for that. You can fire him for lesser things than that, depending on what his employment contract is.
Right.
In other words, if it's an at-will situation, you can fire him because you decided you don't like him any longer.
And is the difference because this guy is at a taxpayer-funded public school in Florida? Is that really what the rub is on this?
Well, that makes it more incumbent on the university to look into this and make the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
That's from the university's point of view.
But that's why this is more difficult to do than it would be if in my own private business.
Well, not necessarily more difficult to do. It might be more incumbent on the university to do, because if they don't, they're allowing taxpayer money to support someone who's conducting these activities.
Right.
So it might be more incumbent on the university to take an honest look and make the right decision based on what Mr. Al-Aryan has done over the years.
From what we know about this case, should this guy be fired?
I believe yes, because I believe that being a university professor or a tenured professor mm-hmm. doesn't give you immunity to raise money and to organize for terrorist groups. And using academic freedom as a cover seems to me against everything that universities ought to stand for.
Is it against the law, per se, to raise money for terrorist groups?
Today it is, yes.
It is in the United States. If I raise money and give it to a terrorist group that I know is a terrorist group, for whatever cause, that is against the law.
Yes.
So then he would be violating probably something like, and I don't know the exact words in his contract, but in mine it's like, I think it's called the morals clause. He would be in violation of that, would he not?
Were he to do that today, he would be in violation of that. The main law again prohibiting raising money or contributing money
right.
to terrorism was passed in 1996.
Right.
Now, most of his, or at least the activities we know of, were done prior to that. We aren't aware that he's raised money
since
for
96?
Islamic Jihad since 1996.
Yeah, is that grandfathered in then? Since he raised money when the law was different?
Well, I don't know how much this particular situation was the reason that the 96 law was passed. It may have something to do with it, but his organizations were raided per search warrant in 1995.
Right.
So he couldn't have continued doing his work after that.
All right.
His organizations were closed down. Then the law was passed in 96. So a lot of that fundraising activity and the political organizing on behalf of the Islamic Jihad
right.
was done in the late 80s through 95.
Very good. I appreciate your time. Thank you for coming on the program. Richard Horowitz is an attorney in New York. What do you think about this?